Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, is the end near? We've set the stage on the previous portion of this broadcast. We've set the stage with some of the current events that we're seeing take place in the Middle East. And don't you dare believe that that is anything less than just a brief smattering of all the totality of what can be said in relationship to some of the things that's taking place and the totality of what's happening in the Middle East today. Someone said so many years ago that if you want to understand what God is doing, look at Israel. Israel is God's our hand, and Jerusalem is God's second hand, the sweep hand on the clock. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching this unfold before our eyes. And when you look at the text, when the disciples asked Jesus, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of the coming, thy coming, that's coming of Jesus, be, and the end of the world? We're talking about today, is this the end of the world? Are we near the end of time? And the absolute answer to that question is yes. And Jesus says one of the first signs that you'll see, and he's telling his disciples, it's applicable to us today. The Word of God is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It's just as applicable today as it was to his disciples when he gave it to them. And he answered them in verse 4. Let me read it again. And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And then we find also in verse 11 and 12, when Matthew 24, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, that's twisted, perverted, lawlessness and sin, shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then in verse 24 of the same chapter, for there shall be arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, he shall deceive the very elect. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the first sign that Jesus tells his disciples and that the Bible gives us as a warning that we are in the last days, that we are nearing the end of this old age in which we're living in. The age that we're living in is the day of grace. It's the age of grace. It is the church age. It is the parentheses between in this time, and we don't know this period of time that's the day of grace, the age of the church. It is that parentheses until the coming of the tribulation days. So may I say, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus says, take heed. That means to listen up. Notice he says, Jesus answered unto them and said, take heed. The word take heed means listen up. Watch out. Be alert. Be vigilant. Be on guard. Many will come in my name. That sounds just like today, ladies and gentlemen. We have a whole lineup of preachers today preaching false, deceitful messages. We have those that are preaching and telling us that there's no hell. Rob Bell, in his book Love Wins, published in 2011. Says that hell is simply the last stopping place before you get to heaven. Then the Pope just recently said hell doesn't exist, no such place as hell. We find those today that are teaching and telling us that the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant to today. We have those telling us that we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. There are those today that saying the Bible is out of date and must be rewritten. There are those telling us that, in fact, the Pope recently said that Jesus Christ is not God incarnate. He's not truly God. And then we have those preachers today that's telling us Islam and Christianity are the sister religions, and that all and God are the same. That's Rick Warren and his diatribe, ladies. You can't get any more deceitful than that. These deceptive, deceitful preachers today claim to have a word from God. They claim to have to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully at your leisure. Open your Bible, turn back to Matthew, the 7th chapter, and drop down and look at about verse 20 in the 7th chapter of Matthew, and you'll find some very frightening words that Jesus Christ is speaking in relationship to those that think somehow, some way, they're going to heaven, but have never said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior. Verse 22 of chapter 7 of Matthew, it says, many, that's the word megas, we get our word mega or megas, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, the word Lord is kurios, means owner, master, controller. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, Jesus speaking, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks today that's being deceived in that deceptive preaching and teaching by those that are the deceitful preachers in the world today. These deceitful preachers, and Jesus says, be careful, don't let any man deceive you. Ladies and gentlemen, I think it's sad to see those that discuss biblical truths and they give a warped view of it. They give their own personal opinions of it and not exegeting the Word of God. these modern day false teachers, these modern day false preachers that we find today and what's being said. You find those like Jesse Duplantis and many of the other TV stars, if you will. You find those like Andy Stanley, Benny Hinn, and those that are false teachers today that's getting the attention of the world. You find those that are saying that, just as J.D. Greer, which is the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, saying that literally those that are in the sodomite lifestyle, those that are living sodomite lifestyles, they are not really sinning. There's no more sin in that there is in sin of gluttony, and trying to minimize the sin of homosexuality. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis chapter 19, verse 24 and 25, he rained down fire and brimstone, destroyed them and all the plains round about because of the sin of sodomy. And yet we have preachers today, whole denominations today, that are embracing the sodomite lifestyle and simply saying, as J.D. Greer says, that we need to embrace them, we need to bring them in. And right now there's a prominent leader here in the state of Florida that's got four seminars set up for the state of Florida where he's going to be supposedly training pastors how to deal with LGBTQ in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ ought not to be in the church. It is antithetical to biblical truth. It is against the word of God. But Jesus himself warns that these people like Benny Hinn, Joel Osteen, and Rick Warren, and Andy Stanley, the Pope, and I can name you multiplied others that are saying things that are not biblically so. You have some on national radio that's saying that God predestined some to hell and some to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, when you hear that, your antenna needs to go up. You need to understand that you need to be a Berean Christian. Search the scriptures, see if it be so. Not one place in the Word of God where God's Word authenticates or indicates in any fashion that that is the case. If there is the predestination of some to heaven and some to hell, and you can't do anything about it, then, ladies and gentlemen, why do we have churches? Why do we preach the gospel? Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Why is it so that we have gospel tracts that we print and put out and publish around the globe? Why is it we plead with people and pray with people and ask them to come to faith in Jesus Christ if there's the predestination fact that God has decided who's going to heaven and who's going to hell before the foundation of the world? That's being proclaimed on the airways across America today and in pulpits, and it is an absolute travesty to the Word of God. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ himself said the first sign, it's the little word Simeon, the first roadmap, the first indicator, the first road marker of the coming of the last days and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is that of deceitful preachers, deceptive in what they say. Those that will try to convince you that God created homosexuals that way. Those who try to convince you that hell is not real, that it does not exist. Those that will try to say the devil is a figment of the imagination. The first thing, ladies and gentlemen, is the deceitful preachers. The second thing, the second prophetic text is that there will be the destructive panorama. Now, what does that mean when I say the destructive panorama? The scripture is very clear. In Matthew 24, verses 6, 7, and 8. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, when we see what's happening in the Middle East, when we see what's taking place with the end times, when we see what God is doing in relationship to the building up of the great bear called Russia, when we see what Putin is doing, and we see what's taking place now with Syria, and ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Syria is a puppet state of Russia. Russia owns and controls and motivates and mandates and operates every move that Assad does in Syria. Syria is a puppet state to Vladimir Putin. Syria today has more war machinery and weaponry and tanks and planes and every type of equipment and ammo in Syria that is Russian weaponry. If you don't believe that, ladies and gentlemen, ask the question. See what's happening in Syria now? With the Syrian army coming back against the Turkish at the border of Turkey and Syria. How did those weapons get there so quickly? Where do they come from? Who do they belong to? It's all Russian, Russian-made, Russian-armed, and Russian-ready. Vladimir Putin is armed, angry, aggressive, and awaiting for the full domination of the Middle East. And that shall take place based on the authority of Scripture. The destructive panorama is what we're talking about. And it says in the verse 6 in Matthew 24 and following, and you should hear wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled. For all these things must, doesn't say maybe, but must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For a nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are only the beginnings of sorrows. It's what you call birth pangs, labor pangs. It's the travail before birth is what the scripture is literally speaking about. And that's what we see taking place today. God's word gives us full, clear details and a list of the massive destructive events that will take place in this old world before Jesus Christ snatches the bride, his church, out of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we find four specific things that's outlined here in verse 6, 7, and 8. Four specific things that's outlined. Ladies and gentlemen, we're asking the question, is the end near? If you please, we're looking at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24, the eschatological prophetic text that is one of the greatest texts in all the Bible to give us a succinct understanding of what God is doing. We're talking about the destructive panorama. God gives us a full detailed list of the massive destructive events that shall take place. And these four, number one is destruction. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors, that's rumblings of wars. See that ye be not troubled, that is distressed, worried, or anxious. For all these things must, it's imperative, come to pass. But the end is not yet. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, we see what's happening in the Middle East. That's not necessarily the end. It's pointing to the end. It is a rumbling toward the end, but it's not necessarily the end. I recall, ladies and gentlemen, on the day of 9/11, one of the members in our church, he's moved away several years ago, but he was a member of our church at the time. He was a pharmacist in one of the local national pharmacy chains, and he had a child in our academy at the time. And so when that took place, and we'd called all of the parents, asked them to come pick their children up because we didn't know what was going to take place and how it would rumble down across America with the events taking place in New York at the time. So we called the parents and asked them to pick their children up, and he got the word and called back, and he said, "Doc, is this the end of the world? Are we watching the end of the world?" And I said, "No, that's not it. It's not the end of the world. We're watching some of the events. It's the rumbling toward the end of the world." And that's literally what God is talking about here in the scripture. This is not the end of the world, but it's signs pointing to the end. Can you count the wars today? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can take a globe, spin the globe, close your eyes, spin the globe, put your finger on it, and there is some type of war or rumors of wars or rumblings of wars taking place there today. You can look at what's taking place in Egypt, what's taking place in Libya, Syria, Sudan, Russia, and as a result of Russian takeover, even the strain now between Russia and Ukraine, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Nigeria, nation against nation, ladies and gentlemen. It is the rise of that which we see taking place where there's the wars and rumblings of wars. You can look at North Korea. You can look at China. China is the silent sleeping giant. That, ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. In the latter days, the days of the tribulation, according to Daniel chapter 11, and picking up with about verse 36 and falling, specifically on the right page, left column in my Bible, about verses 40, 41, 42, and 43, you will see China enter into, in the latter days of the great tribulation, China will enter into the battle and will come in, and the Antichrist will think that China will ultimately crush him and his leadership role. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at, and you can look at Revelation chapter 9 and see China has a 200 million man army. And in that 200 million man army, it will come against the little nation of Israel, not truly realizing what God is doing in the prophetic text and bringing this about. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the world today, and the world is in chaos. The world is in confusion. The world should be cautioned that we're watching God's prophetic calendar and God's prophetic clock taking place. The scripture says in verse 6, Matthew 24, and ye shall hear of wars and rumblings of wars. See that ye be not troubled, distressed, worried, or anxious, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So when you ask the question, is this the end? No. It's the sign pointing to the end. It's one of the rumblings taking place pointing toward the end. When we see what's happening with the Islamic aggression on a global basis, when we see what's happening today with Islam getting into the Congress of the United States of America, we're watching the rumblings and the signs pointing to the end game when Islamic invasion on a global basis shall take place. And ladies and gentlemen, that's outlined in Ezekiel 38 and 39, where these five Islamic nations, Islamically controlled nations, will be led by Russia to come against Israel. That is one of the signs, ladies and gentlemen, that we see. And it is not yet. It is not fulfilled yet. It is not complete yet. But God is still working on it. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says in verse 7, and kingdom against kingdom. The word kingdom is the word basileion. That is talking about global, if you please, like Egypt and Russia, etc., one against the other. Not just discord, not just wars between the ethnicities around the globe, but wars between great powers, wars between North Korea and South Korea, North Korea and America, China and America, and Russia and America, et cetera, even though they might fight those wars by proxy. I believe we have a caller on the phone. Go with your question and comment, please.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon. According to some Jewish mystics, and I'm not a fan of mysticism completely, but some of the statements have prophetic significance, but they from the town of Sfad in the middle 1500s, 1416, talked about when you see those coming from the north, meaning north of Israel, don your wedding garments, for the footsteps of the Messiah are being heard. And I enjoyed hearing that, because that's exactly what's happening. The footsteps are getting louder and louder from the north of Israel.
You can hear the clanging of the swords, if you please, as that's taking place. And by the way, when you look at the scripture, the king of the north is Syria, and the king of the south is Egypt, and that's exactly what we see taking place. And by the way, it's a fascinating thing that you bring up, because you can go back and all of the battles and all of the wars that's been that's taken place in the Middle East. It is coming between the king of the north, the king of the south, and generally those battles will take place on the soil that we know today as Israel.
That Israel was caught in the center.
That's right, always caught in the center. It seems to be the focus of every battle down through the card of the time in history past, history present, and history future, where it's going to take place. But sometimes, by the way, you talk about it being mystical and a mystic saying, and it's true what you're saying, that it's mystical, but they do not recognize how prophetic it is with the truth of what they're saying. There are many of the rabbis today that are non-Christians, of course, and non-believers of the New Testament, what the Bible says, but they're pointing to the soon coming of Yeshua Messiah. In fact, just a couple of years ago, there was a number of buildings in Israel, in Jerusalem in particular, that had the large all-cloth banners hanging out. Soon coming Yeshua, Yeshua, Messiah is coming. They're looking forward to the Messiah's first coming. We're looking forward to his second coming.
Yeah, the Hasidic Jews, the Lubavitchers, or the Chabad group out of Brooklyn, New York, their phrase is, we want Mashiach now. And they don't realize Yeshua, HaMashiach, Jesus, Joshua, is the anointed one, and he's coming again. Just like Moses was hid for a while, he appeared, then he was hidden, and then he came back. And Joseph, Messiah, son of Joseph, he was hidden for a while, sold him, and then he came back and saved his nation. And they thought he was a Gentile ruler, an Egyptian ruler. So there's types and shadows of how the Messiah would act and what would occur. And Joseph and Moses are prime examples, are they not?
Absolutely, and it's strange that you say that, but let me further that, elongate that statement. It is from that same prophetic understanding and mantra that the Islamics believe the 12th Imam has been hidden by God, and ultimately in the final days of the great cataclysmic event, in fact, with the Shiite Muslims, they believe that the only way Messiah is coming back is to have a cataclysmic event. That's the reason they're pushing toward, and they're so bent on jihad, is they think that the only way that the Messiah is coming back, their Messiah, the hidden Imam, the 12th Imam, as it is called, that he will come back and will bring victory for the Islamics on a global basis, and simultaneously the Christian Jesus will return, but Jesus is not all-powerful. Their Imam is, and so when Jesus returns and the 12th Imam returns, that Jesus will be his assistant to bring the whole world into Islam. And that is the mantra that they believe about the hidden Messiah on their part, the hidden Imam.
Amen. And some of the Orthodox Jews and Hasidic Jews believe that the millennial reign is called the Great Shabbat, the Great Sabbath, the thousand-year Sabbath of rest.
They're exactly right, and they do not realize it.
Yeah, God bless.
Shalom. God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the major prophetic indicators of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the world. We're talking about, number one, the deceitful preachers, and that we've talked about that, the destructive panorama, and there are four things in the destructive panorama. First of all is the great destruction. Secondly, the dearth in the text. The scripture also says in these verses, verse 7, and nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are only the beginnings of sorrow. Ladies and gentlemen, it's dearth. These things shall be, there shall be famines, that's dearth, weather changes, global changes, and what the folks call today the global earth and the, what do they call it, climate change, the global warming and climate change. Ladies and gentlemen, in the days of the tribulation, there shall be global warming, there shall be climate change, and the scripture is very, very clear that that's going to take place. In fact, we're seeing some of those indicators today in little sporadic fashions around the globe. We're finding some of those things taking place. We're finding them take place, I believe, what you see with the great floods and the great fires and the earthquakes and the hurricanes that are taking place. Some of them, here's one that says Montana hailstorm slaughters 11,000 birds. This was Wednesday, August the 21st of 2019. By the way, Revelation 16, verse 21 says, in the latter days of the tribulation, hailstones, the weight of 100 pounds, will be falling, and yet men, rather than repenting, will stand up and shake their fist at God and curse God. This article says, thousands of birds were killed August the 11th when a destructive hailstone lashed regions northwest of Billings, Montana. According to the Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, the supercell thunderstorm killed and maimed more than 11,000 waterfowl and wetland birds at the Big Lake Wildlife Management Area west of Molt. Molt is about 20 miles west, northwest of Billings, Montana, and its largest city. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen, that touches on that. It says, weather blamed for the swarms of crickets in San Antonio, October the 11th. Experts say an influx of crickets that some San Antonio residents have called a plague resulted from a perfect weather condition that allowed the insects to thrive this year. Residents said they first started noticing huge swarms of crickets gathering Tuesday in locations including the University of Texas at San Antonio. Quote, we just simply had a perfect storm of the perfect condition to make these crickets population explode, one writer said about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying that that is the end, but it is some of the things pointing to, some of the signs pointing to that. And one of those signs is not only destruction and dearth, but dearth, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to watch as we see the days coming, as we get closer and closer to the sudden seizure, the snatching of the child of God out of this old world. Around the globe, there are millions dying today as a result of famine. And then not only destruction and dearth, but also diseases. This scripture says, and pestilences, literally diseases. Webster's Dictionary describes that as being contagious diseases. We're seeing, ladies and gentlemen, things like STDs and AIDS and cancer and all strains of viruses today that are resistant to any medicine, any medication. Medical science today warns that in the next few years, we will face disease with no medical cure. Many diseases today are not responding to antibiotics. Ladies and gentlemen, with thousands and thousands of illegals coming across our borders that have never been inoculated, never been vaccinated, never had the medical care that Americans have had, it is highly contagious in some of the things they're bringing. They're bringing in a reoccurrence of many of the diseases, lung diseases, and things of that nature that we've never had before or have not had in multitudes of years in America. Discord, dearth, diseases, disasters, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says, and earthquakes in diverse places. Earthquakes in diverse places. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not unusual to find today, since we've been recording earthquakes for the past many years, where we find earthquakes at 5, 6, 7, 8 on the Richter scale. It's not unusual today to hear earthquakes in mid-America and on the West Coast and in the Northeast. Ladies and gentlemen, earthquakes are taking place globally. Just as we found several months ago where there was a 7.5 Richter scale earthquake in Indonesia, a huge tsunami as a result of that. Every year, ladies and gentlemen, earthquakes are increasing and deaths by earthquakes. These intensification of the earthquakes are getting greater and greater and greater in number and intensity and in size and in scope. Ladies and gentlemen, Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28, the scripture tells us there will be distress of nations and men's hearts shall fail them for the dread to see these things coming about. May I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, are you ready? Have you said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord? There is a need today for people to say yes to Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, not only do we see as the signs that Jesus points his disciples to and for our edification today, the deceitful preachers and the destruction, destructive panorama. But I want us to understand also the demonic persecution, demonic persecution. The scripture says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. and then shall many be offended. That's the word scandalon, stumble and fall, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity, twisted, perverted, lawlessness, and sin shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then in verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not talking about you just hang in there and hang on, keep on doing the best you can, and eventually you'll be saved. It's talking about enduring the persecution. Enduring the persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're watching today not only the persecution of the Jewish people, which this in Matthew chapter 24 is first and foremost speaking of, but an application that's speaking to every Christian and every Jew on the face of the globe. Today, we're as never before, we're watching and witnessing today the persecution of Christians and the Jewish people around the globe. We're watching that persecution. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that just came off the wire this morning. Kentucky school removes a prayer locker after anti-religious group complains. A Kentucky high school is shutting down its tradition of allowing students to submit anonymous prayer requests for someone to pray for them. Americans United for Separation of Church and State, a Washington, D.C.-based nonprofit, sent a complaint letter September the 17th to the Peak Central High School about a prayer locker. While the prayer locker is the student-supported, this group says it's a clear violation of separation of church and state, alleging it was put up by school officials, but it was done by the students. Emily Chancey, a sophomore at the East Ridge High School, will no longer be able to carry out her prayer locker tradition as started by the students to submit anonymous prayer requests. The school superintendent sent a letter to the school writing, erecting a prayer locker is a clear violation of the separation of church and state. Ladies and gentlemen, that's clear persecution. We're watching persecution from the fake media. We're watching persecution from the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrats. We're watching persecution today from the Islamic jihadists. We're watching persecution today as the attack from on every Christian, upon every conservative, and every Jew. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. For the attack to be taking place from the Islamics in particular, it is mandated in the Quran that they slay the Christian, they slay the non-believer, they slay the one that is a Jewish person and make no friends with them. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a divine proclamation, though, that must take place before the end comes. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness unto the nations, and then shall the end come. Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel has not spread around the world, and it will not until the last days of the tribulation. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.